You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest returns after many years with a new book called Divining Truth, Straight Talk from Source, The Story. Toni Elizabeth Tsar Petrinovich is a master teacher, metaphysician, and quantum physics researcher who instructs spiritual seekers how to see, hear, understand, and express from their core, through their heart, the voice of the soul, and into infinity. Toni is also clairvoyant, clairaudient, and kinesthetically aware of the invisible world, assisting others to access these dimensions. Through the heart, the voice of the soul, she teaches people the value of absolute forgiveness through the ritual of absolution. You can find her website at www.sacredspaceswa.com. Excuse me. So let's welcome her back to the show now. Hi, Toni. How are you?
Hi. Thank you, Lance. I am very fine. I am excited to be with you once again. This is delightful. Mm. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, I remember your first book. I think it was called The Angelic Human.
The Call, Waking the Angelic
Human.
Yes, right.
Well, that was a wonderful book. And this one is really quite special. I mean, it just cuts to the chase, and it's really gets to the core of things, and it's like an adventure, and there are examples. I mean, it's a really nicely written book, and it's not, it doesn't have a lot of, you know, New Age mumbo-jumbo in it. So.
No, thank you very much. That's something that I like to stay away from is the New Age mumbo-jumbo.
Right.
I like to make jokes about light workers. I'm really kind of, you know, sometimes I'm not everybody's best friend, I guess, because it's like if you say you're a light worker, that separates you from those who don't work with light. We are light.
Right. Right.
Everyone's light. So everybody has to be a light worker.
True, true. Well, now, before we get into some of the things in the book, I thought it might be kind of fun since it's been a while since we've talked, maybe 5 years or more, I don't know, four or five years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
And today is about 13 days away from December 21st, 2012. And I thought if anybody has some thoughts about this time, you would probably have some.
Oh yes, the old 2012 thing. Yes, all right. The 12, 21, 12. First of all, I don't believe in it to start with. I know we're ending a cycle. I get it. We're ending a cycle. But the thing
right.
that I've done videos on this. I've got YouTube's on it. I've got articles I've written and published in various places about the fact that humanity is always looking for the next, you know, myth of the great ending kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we had this myth of the great ending when the millennium changed.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of my friends went out and bought this enormous supply of rice and beans and wheat and other stuff and stashed it in her basement. And then 2000 came and she said, "What do I do with it?" And I said, "Well, eat it, I guess." I don't know. The idea that we're going to transform on a certain date.
Yeah.
It's something that people want to believe,
right?
Because everybody
right.
is basically not that happy,
right?
But the fact is, we are in a constant state of transformation, and the dates that have been used to create this 12/21/12 are presumed to be true based upon what we presume we know. And if you read any of the really good research books, which I have, John Major Jenkins has one of the best out on 2012. He talks about how we actually backed into the date. It's like we took the date, December 21st, 2012, and we said, okay, this is going to be the date. Now, what do we have to say to make the beginning of the cycle be at a certain time?
Right.
And we gave it this date, and we said, okay, that's when the Mayan calendar began.
Right.
We're the ones saying this.
Right.
So
right.
For me, it's like just yet another spin of a yarn that
mm-hmm.
everybody wants to hold on to believe that something's going to happen that's going to make them happier.
Yeah, and isn't that, in essence, the savior mentality?
It is. It's the savior mentality, and it's always, this is going to happen on this date, and we're all going to be saved. And I'm just sitting here chuckling, thinking, well, okay, so on the 22nd, everybody's going to wake up, and they're not going to be any different than they were on the 21st. What's going to be the next, end date? What's going to be the myth of the next great ending?
Right, right. And we've been through so many of these already.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So.
And I do understand the 26,000-year cycle and the possession of the equinoxes, and I understand all of that. But the fact is that it isn't really 26,000 years. It's more like 25,000-something-something.
Mm.
And so when we try and pin it on one day, we're just very conveniently putting it on the solstice
mm-hmm.
and saying that our sun is going to be aligned with the center of the galaxy. Okay, fine. But that doesn't necessarily mean that anything is going to, quote-unquote, happen.
Right.
And that's where I am with it.
Well, I'm kind of beginning to go in that direction because it just feels, that's how it feels to me right now.
mm-hmm.
And
it
would be nice if there was an influx of higher consciousness or prana, chi, whatever you want to call it, that helped us to elevate ourselves, to remember who we are, and to live more lives with more integrity, and to pare away some of the darkness that is manifesting here on this planet. But that'll happen when it happens.
And it is happening slowly, but I think that it's probably not happening as fast as everybody wants. I mean, Lance, our culture and the Western cultures, period, not just the United States, we're used to instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to having telephone, internet, the television, microwaves,
mm-hmm.
We want everything to happen right now rather than it unfolding in what I like to call the just-in-time universe.
Mm-hmm.
It means that everything happens just in time because mm-hmm. there is no time itself, no linear time within the world of spirit, within the world of the soul.
Well, I've often thought that everything also happens in perfect synchronicity. We're just not tuned to it.
Exactly. You're right. And we're not used to looking for those kind of synchronicities. We're not taught to do that. I mean, you don't go to school and learn about synchronicity. You go to school and learn how to behave.
Right.
I mean, that's what schools are really about, is learning how to behave.
Right,
and
right.
So when you think about the differentiation between what we're taught and what actually happens within synchronicity and within the timing of things, if people were taught to pay attention to that,
mm-hmm.
then there would be a whole different way of looking at life, because you begin to realize that as soon as you think something, as soon as you feel something, you're creating resonance with something else that's going to cause something to happen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
absolutely
the beauty of it.
mm-hmm. So now, when did you begin writing this book, and what prompted you to was it divine inspiration, or you just you felt like you had to put these words on the paper?
Well, actually, it was my muse, who is my beloved Philip.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a funny story. Last year we did a summit in St. George, Utah, and it was called Summit 2012, Going Beyond Chaos, and we did it at the Green Valley Spa that, at the time, the general manager, who isn't there anymore, but the general manager is a student of mine, and he said, why don't you bring your work here, why don't you put on, something here? So we put on this big summit, and we had people come from all over the world. It was absolutely wonderful. We had a fantastic weekend. So we had planned, it was like, 2.5 days worth of the summit, and then we had planned to actually be on a trip, just a road trip for like 3 weeks. And then Mike, who was the general manager, said, why don't you come and spend a couple of days at my house? I have this great big house. It's just me, and you guys can stay for a couple of days, and, you know, we'll just get to know each other better. We stayed for 3 months.
Wow.
We just planted ourselves there, and we did not leave St. George, Utah for a very long time.
Ah.
While we were there, we were out driving around looking at the country and just doing all kinds of wonderful things. Philip said to me, you know something? I've been thinking about the fact that you've only got one physical book in publication. I have a couple of e-books, but I only had one physical book. And you really need to have another book in publication. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. And it just literally came to me that I didn't really have to work at it. I didn't work at the call, Awakening the Angelic Human, which was my first book. I didn't work at that at all. It was just like it was downloaded into me.
Right.
And I didn't have to work at my second book because I have been doing the work that I've been doing, teaching and doing readings, for 45 years.
Yeah.
And in 45 years, the same questions keep coming up over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I do a book about those questions and then just tap into source consciousness like I do for readings and answer the question from source consciousness, not naming any people or saying so-and-so's question was such-and-such, just using the question, and write a book. Well, I've got so many questions that I finally just narrowed it down to 75.
Oh, wow.
And that's how many questions are in the book. And I just tapped into source consciousness and created the answers. In the middle of all of this, Philip said to me, why don't you write a story that illustrates the answers to the questions?
Mm.
And so, fortunately, he said that kind of towards the beginning of the book. And I thought, you know, I'm not much of a fiction writer, but I'll give it a go. And if it doesn't turn out too good, I can always just, you know, delete it. The story wrote itself. It was amazing. I did not think of the story.
Huh.
I simply put my hands on the keys and let it write itself. And my editor, because I was sending her, like, every time I got a chapter done, I'd send her a chapter. And she said, are you thinking your way through this story? Have you got it figured out? And I said, no, not at all. Each day I just look at what I wrote the day before, and I sit down and say, okay, where's Nancy and Paul and Don and Sam today? You know, where did I leave them yesterday?
Right.
I put my hands on the keys and let it happen.
Huh.
And it turned out really well because it turned out so that I can actually write a couple sequels.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, you know, what I like is that it's such a nice mix of different material. There's the body of the core ideas, and then you have the stories.
Right.
Story time, and it gives you the kind of an imaginative, creative example of what you've just been talking about. So it's really quite beautifully written.
Yeah, it's fun, and it really turned out, it turned out as well as I would want it to have turned out. I mean, I'm very, very pleased with it. So in 2013, we are going to actually take the book on the road, and I have been sending out emails to my newsletter list asking people if they wanted to host us, and we've got about 25 hosts so far throughout the United States and up into Canada a bit, where we're going to take a little bit of a reading from the book. And then what I'm going to do is a group for the group that is there. People can ask me questions, and I'll just answer them from Cosmic Consciousness. And then I'm going to teach people how to do it themselves.
Good.
So that they can get their own answers. And I've done this before. I've taught this before. And it works really well.
Well, that sounds like a really exciting trip.
Oh, it's good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun because people don't believe that they can get the answers the same way I get the answers, and they can.
Right.
And when they
right. And isn't
when
that
they realize
one of the
that.
Well, isn't that one of the difficulties with people today is that they feel that they have to go through some kind of external intermediary or a source or many intermediaries in order to get their own answers?
Right, exactly. And sometimes people feel like it's their soul group. Sometimes people feel like it's, you know, guidance. And really what you come to realize is that the guidance you're getting is you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you, the higher self of you, if you will listen, But what happens with people, and I know you know this, is that they get scared to go forward with that which is outside of the sort of mass consciousness day-to-day energy stream.
Right, right. Right, absolutely.
Rather than realizing that everything is present for them, all the energy information is really there.
Mm-hmm.
And all they have to do is tap into it and trust it.
Right, right. And then let go and then be present or mindful about your reality around you, which unfolds to give you clues and make things happen that will guide you.
Exactly, exactly. And when people are willing to make that change, I mean, it's really magical. It's really what alchemy is all about. It's being able to say, yes, this is what I'm really feeling, and I'm going to move forward with it this way and see how, yes, it can create a bit of a disruption. I get that. And yet at the same time, it's such a glory to the heart as the voice of the soul to bring this kind of information forward and to let it be the experience, the real experience of your life, rather than thinking it's going to clash with your expectations.
What are some of the ideas that you feel are really important to convey in your book? And maybe we can cover some of the obstacles to that as well.
Well, I think one of the greatest benefits of the book is that it's written without a belief system. A lot of the questions that were asked were obvious, and that are asked me, like when I do readings, soul readings, ask me questions, they have a specific belief system that they have about how things are supposed to be. And the answers to the questions are written without a belief system. It is written in the first person as though the I am, which I call Source, and a lot of people call God, is speaking the answer without it being attached to any specific belief system. So when people begin to think that it's hard to be here, they don't have enough support, how can they change their life to make it be the way everybody wants them to be living, blah, 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 it's really about them coming to the space of knowing that they want to be free to be who they are and to express as Source. Without a belief system attached to it, which removes the limitations from life. Because the belief systems that we are taught, as you well know, are all about limitation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no belief system that is about expansion.
No, no. No, it's all about control and manipulation.
Exactly. And what I always teach in my metaphysics classes is that if you take any belief system you have, and I mean any belief system, from how you think of God to when you brush your teeth, and you follow it back to where it came from, it will always be someone's desire to control.
Yes, yes, absolutely right.
It's always that.
Yeah,
and that's where
yeah.
you get judgment and separation and this constant sense of resistance. And when we let go of belief systems, then we don't have to live that way. And somebody once said to me, well, even what you say is a belief system. I go, I understand that. But I'd much rather believe in not believing in belief systems than to believe in one that is not going to support me, but that is a threat. Because the belief systems that we're taught say, you should do this or you should not do that. That's not supportive. That's threatening.
Right.
Because
right,
if you
absolutely.
Do it or you don't do it, you're going to get in trouble. So something's going to happen to you. And it's always about an authority figure. So that's really, I think, the main thrust of the book, is that it's taking the questions and it's removing the belief system from them so that people can be free to live in the experience of the moment, not in the belief system of how that experience should be based upon a belief system that they were given by somebody else.
Right. Right. And that is the most important tool I think we could have to gaining our own freedom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we realize that it's not about, you know, helping other people on their journey or being of assistance and doing this and doing that. I mean, all of that's great. It's fine if it comes along and that's what you want to do. But it's really about you realizing that you're source and form, and that the only thing that you really, quote unquote, need to do is to realize that fully. And in that realization, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
This is enlightenment. I mean, people think we have to strive for enlightenment and, you know, do all these things. We are light in form, enlightened. We are light in form already.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is to realize that and bring it forward so that that's how we're living our life. And then everybody else is affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all one.
Right, right.
And this is the freedom. This is really the freedom that allows people to live as God, to live as Source, and to be discovering constantly new experiences from a vantage point of freedom without a belief system that is threatening to sort of get them if they don't follow a specific spiritual path.
Well, you know, there's such a strong resistance and a repulsion by most people to consider themselves as Source or Higher Self or as God. And is that mainly due to the brainwashing that comes from the religions?
Oh, well, sure, because we've been taught that God is outside of us, and God is bigger than we are, and God is this authority figure that is going to, you know, strike us dead if we don't do whatever we're supposed to do based on whatever religion we're raised in.
Right.
Instead of realizing that Source consciousness is what we are. I like to think of it, sometimes I put my hands together. I can't do it because we're not, you know, on a visual call right here, but I put my hands together and I lock them together and I say, okay, let's pretend that this is Source. Two hands locked together. And one day, Source says, and so the two hands come apart and they're just kind of facing each other, like fists facing each other. And he goes, oh, pretty good looking dude. This is kind of good, but this feels weird to be separated. So I'll come back together. So the two hands come back together. But if I can separate and I can come back together whenever I want to, well, this is kind of fun. So then the two hands become four, become eight, become 16, et cetera, et cetera. Eventually you get to this place where you have us. And we are now distanced from this moment of union that we exist within.
Mm.
And the quest is, what do we need to do to come back to this moment of union? All we have to do is remember it. And then we realize that everything that is created is Source, because it has to be. When Source began creating, however you want to imagine that, the only thing it had to create with was itself.
Right.
So there is nothing that is not Source.
Right.
Somebody once said to me, well, yeah, but what about the clay in the Bible that Adam was supposed to be made out of? And I said, okay, if that's what you want to believe in. But who made the clay? It has to come from one place.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, once you understand that and you really get it, then it's not hard to know that you're God.
Now, one of the things that people are going to be, another separation that seems to be creating difficulties with unity consciousness is the idea that there is some kind of dark force or evil that is, doing horrible things and is trying to control the light. So how do you reconcile the aspect of Source that is manifesting in a way that is destructive?
Well, there's a couple of ways I look at this. First of all, I go back to what I just said, which is that if Source is everything, then Source is everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to say that Source isn't everything, that the dark force is not Source, my question to the person would be, okay, then what is it and how did it come about,
mm-hmm.
if everything is source. In my book, The Call, I actually wrote a little story in Chapter 9, which is a chapter on negativity. And I wrote a little story about the boardroom and how God is calling everyone to the boardroom, all the angels and archangels to the boardroom, because God has suddenly had this moment of epiphany where it says, oh my gosh, I just realized something. I'm creating this place called Earth that's all about duality and contrast, and I am union. How am I going to do this? I need something, someone, some being to help me be dual. And in the story, the archangel Lucifer, which means light, stands up and says, I am strong enough because you have made me as the purity of light and love. I am strong enough to hold the opposite end of the spectrum with you, God,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I will do this as long as it takes, so that humanity will begin to realize that everything is one. And at the end of the story, he says to Archangel Michael, remember, Archangel Michael, every time you raise your sword to strike me down, I am your brother.
Mm.
And that's how I see it. I don't see dark forces. I mean, there's a lot of people who would say, well, what wars that are going on, various, you know, terrorists and all of this other stuff, and the world constantly forces on us. All of that is source in contrast, in duality. And we have an opportunity to hold ourselves in a state of unconditional love for those beings who are playing that part. Or we can decide that those are the bad guys. But remember, to those guys, we're the bad guys. So it's always duality. It's always contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And because we live in a world of free will, we are free to make a choice how we're going to see it. I'm 65 years old. I have been doing this work all of my life, and as an adult since I was 20. Never, ever in my life have I encountered an evil being, a dark force, anything, ever. And I have spiritual work in possibly imagine. I have never seen one. I have never experienced it. In my life, it does not exist. We have a choice what is going to exist in our life.
Interesting. And, of course, those things that you just mentioned are often huge lessons for those people who are experiencing them or who describe those various things.
Well, absolutely. I'm not saying that I haven't had things happen in my life that weren't pretty. I've had a lot of things happen in my life that weren't pretty. I had a choice. I always have a choice how I'm going to experience that. It hasn't been a dark force. It was a human being doing something that wasn't pretty. Okay. Deal with it and then absolve it so that you're living in a state of no wrongdoing, that you're having an experience that allows you to embrace what you are and to realize that that other being has literally taken on that role to assist you in understanding what you are and in understanding absolution. There's a great book out. You know who Neil Donald Walsh is?
Yes.
Okay, the Conversations with God?
Yes.
He wrote a book for kids called, I think it's called The Little Soul and the Big Light, or The Little Soul and the Great Light, or something like that. Anyway, it's a beautiful book for kids, and the artist who did the pictures, because it's like a picture book, the pictures are fantastic. And the story in the book is about the little soul who's up there in heaven, and, you know, having a very blissful time up there in heaven. And one day, the little soul goes to God and says to God, I would like to go to Earth and experience something. And God's all excited. Oh, my gosh, I'm so happy to hear you want to go to Earth and experience something. What do you want to experience? And the little soul says, I want to experience forgiveness. And God goes, uh-oh, it's the one thing you can't go to Earth and do by yourself. You have to go with somebody else. And the little soul, his little wings are drooping and his little head's down, and he says, oh, no. He says, how can I possibly ask anyone to leave heaven and go to Earth with me? No one's going to want to go. And this great big light comes through the crowd of all the souls and says, I will go with you. And, oh, God is so happy to find out that this big light is going to go with the little soul, and a little ecstatic. And so the next picture is them packing extra wings and halos into all of these suitcases and what have you. And then the little soul looks up at the big light and says, wait a minute. How are you going to teach me forgiveness on Earth? And the big light says, oh, don't worry. I'll think of something. I thought it was just...
That's a good one.
And that's really how I see it. I mean, it's always about really increasing our sense of frequency so that we always know the best side of ourselves.
Hmm.
Rather than getting caught in this whole lower vibration thing.
Well, now, there are many different ways to do that, and what are some of the techniques that you feel are the most helpful to keep yourself in a higher frequency, a higher vibration, and not be taken down in a lower one?
Well, there's several. It depends upon what the situation is. One of the things that I always teach my students is to spend at least half an hour a day sitting in what I call sacred silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you have to follow a specific meditation technique. It doesn't mean that you have to do any specific mantra. You can if you want to. But for me, it's about sitting in absolute silence so you enter into this inner self of you the way you would enter a temple. And you go into the heart of you. The heart is the voice of your soul. And you go into the very heart of you, the way you would enter the Holy of Holies of that temple. And you sit with your heart, and you listen to what it is saying to you. Because if you will do this, you will find that all of the things that you're suppressing, and you're hiding, and you're trying not to let anybody see, and all the side of you, so to speak, to dissolve itself within this love that you have for yourself, if you will allow yourself to do that. What happens with some folks is that they get caught up in a variety of different things that have happened in their life, and they can't get there. So on my Sacred Spaces website, I have an absolution ritual in audio, video, and text format that's free for anybody to just go and use to absolve yourself first of any wrongdoing, and then to absolve the other person or the situation or whatever it is of any wrongdoing, because you realize that all you are, both of you, is light. And I walk you through it.
Mm.
So that, and I tell people, don't think that it has to be done in one sitting. Sometimes, depending upon what you've experienced, if it's big enough that it's really impacting your life, you might have to do the absolution ritual more than once. But what you will find is that the more you do it, the less attached you are to believing that something horrible has happened to you, and the more...
Okay, so we were talking, and apparently there was a difficulty with the lines. I don't know whether it was your line or our line or both lines, but anyway, we lost you. So you're back again, Tony. And so if you can pick up where we left off about 5 minutes ago...
I was talking about ways to, you had asked me ways to keep your frequency high. And I was talking about using silence and using absolution, sitting in silence every day with yourself. And I know that for some of people this is really difficult because we are not, again, we're not taught to sit in silence. We're not taught to be quiet. And if you can't do half an hour, do 15 minutes. You know, do whatever you can do to sit in absolute silence with yourself and see how your mind, once you get used to doing this, your mind will begin to quiet down. So your mind's not constantly talking. And then you can access your heart, which is the voice of your soul, and see what you are really experiencing within yourself. every single day from the standpoint of doing it as though you are a temple, as though you are entering into a temple, and that you enter into the Holy of Holies of you. And when you do that, you begin to realize how much you hide from yourself, how much you keep yourself from expressing the way you want to, what you're afraid of. It all just comes up. And you can release this. And if it's something that is more difficult, like, for instance, something, a situation or a person in your life, I have an absolution ritual on my Sacred Spaces website that is in text, audio, and video format that people can use to absolve themselves of any wrongdoing and to absolve others of any wrongdoing, which is different than forgiveness. Forgiveness says you've done something wrong. You've done something bad to me, and I'm going to forgive you. Absolution says there is no wrongdoing. We've had an experience together.
I see.
And we are light. And I absolve myself of any wrongdoing, and I absolve you of any wrongdoing. Think of how freeing that is, Lance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is freeing. That's beautiful, actually.
People don't have to believe that other people are doing things to them to hurt them.
Exactly.
Nobody does that.
Exactly, and then that removes the whole idea of there being a victim and a perpetrator.
Exactly. The victim and the perpetrator no longer exist.
And that takes you out of duality.
Exactly. And it takes you into the oneness. And in the ritual itself, what you do after you finish, after you have absolved yourself of wrongdoing, you absolve the other person of wrongdoing, the two of you blend as golden light, and then you absolve the world together of any sense of wrongdoing.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Very good idea. And where do you find that ritual? In case we get cut off again, can you mention your website now?
Sure. It's Sacred Spaces, plural, WA.com, sacredspaceswa.com. And when you go there, down the navigational bar is on the left-hand side, and I think it's like the third or fourth one down. It just says Absolution. And when you click on that link, it'll take you to the page that has the audio, the video, and also the text, because everybody has a different way of expressing most easily. So it's there in all three formats. Another way for you to get to my websites, because I actually have four websites, the easiest way to get to my websites is through youaresacred.com, which is just a splash page that has a listing of all of my websites and my videos. If you go to youaresacred.com, then you'll see Sacred Spaces right there, and you can just click on that.
Great. So now, what are some of the other things that you feel are really important for us to be paying more attention to if we want to continue the evolutionary... there is no such thing as evolution. If we want to realign ourselves with who we really are authentically...
I believe that if we would, on a day-to-day basis, begin to look at where we reinforce negative beliefs in our lives and look at the opposite of that, that we will begin to see that it is much easier to be in a state of appreciation and gratitude than it is to be in a state of victim mentality. And I know there's, you know, all kinds of web pages and books and what have you out about gratitude and appreciation, and kind of all of it gets to be a lot of stuff for folks. But when you really realize that, by and large, the life you're living, I mean, just the way we're raised, the way we're taught, is a reinforcement of a lot of negativity, and you look at the opposite side of what that negativity is, say, for instance, somebody says, I'm not making as much money as I want to make. Okay, what's the opposite side of that? Well, the opposite side of it is, look what you really have in your life. And when you really have the moment, you take the moment in the silence that I was talking about before, and you take that time to really sit there and examine what you do have in your life, and you appreciate what you have in your life because you are a wavelength that is constantly transmitting. It's called a standing wave. You're constantly transmitting information. Then you are able to bring a greater understanding into your life of what you do have, which means you get more of it.
Mm. Mm.
This is really the way the law of attraction works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're standing waves, and standing waves transmit and receive simultaneously. Every molecule in our body is a standing wave. You can think of dropping a pebble in a pond, and the waves ebb out, 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 out. And what they're actually doing is they're also coming back in at the same time. You just don't see them come back in as easily as you see them go out because you're watching them go out.
All right.
And that's how the law of attraction works. So what we're transmitting is what we're receiving. And so, if people really want to experience from that standpoint, then they need to look at the opposite side of their own negative reinforcements.
Mm. And, of course, the idea that a person is not making enough is another belief system that creates disharmony within oneself.
Of course.
Because, if you have that belief system, it's never enough. If you make $1 million a year, that's only $1 million. That's nothing. Look at Mr. Jones down the street. He's making $10 billion. I have to at least make that much, and then it goes on and on and on. There's no end to it.
Right, right. And one of the things that I like to point out to people is that the guy who's down the street who's making the $10 billion is making it because he's doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Versus doing what he has been told he's supposed to do.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the big piece.
Yes. Yes, that's an important lesson to learn, to do what you love doing and don't worry about, how that manifests in terms of abundance.
Themselves an opportunity to really sit and be with the possibility that they could do what they love to do,
right,
which is usually their hobby.
Right, right. Right. And I see so many people afraid to leave their jobs or do something that will take them on the path of their deepest desires, what makes them happy, and that seems to be the big problem.
I know.
It's really sad. And more of my friends, a few of them here locally, are still suffering from remorse, from guilt. There's parental guilt, childhood guilt, and loss of parents.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends is still grieving the loss of one of her parents after 5 years. And it's just not serving her at all to hang on to that stuff. And yet, like you said, it part of that is the fear of what's on the other side.
Right, and I always like to stay with the question when something like that comes up. I mean, if somebody came to me and said that's what they were experiencing or whatever, I would ask them why.
Yes, right.
It's always, for me, it's always the why.
Yes, 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 of course. That is the question.
And the first thing a person will say, well, I don't know, it's just tough. I hear what you're saying. And why do you want to stay there? Because when we stay with the question, and we constantly just keep asking questions instead of making statements, we invite people to go inside and look at what they're really yearning for.
Yeah, very good, very good.
It changes everything. Actually, that's what people teach you how to, if you go to a school to learn how to be a good networker or to be a good marketing person, they'll talk to you about asking questions, because if you go to like a cocktail party or a dinner and all you do is ask people questions, they'll leave saying, oh my gosh, I had the most fantastic conversation with Lance. It was so wonderful. And all you've done is ask questions, but they've got to talk about themselves.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And that's what people like to do.
Yep. Absolutely.
So when you stay with the question, then you really get to find out where the person is, which is the place to start.
Well, now, what is some other information that you'd like to share with us in the book before we, or not necessarily the book, but, that you'd like to share with us as we kind kind of whittle down to the last part of the show?
I would like to invite everyone to invite themselves, to give themselves permission to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And most people will say, well, I am being who I am. Oh, really? Then why are you looking at me that way? Because what happens for almost everybody is that they are so yoked to the lack of fulfillment in this life that they don't even really know who or what they are.
Oh, yes.
And it begins to become kind of like the lesser or greater stance of their own projections of what life is supposed to be about, when in reality, each of us knows moment to moment exactly what we want, exactly what we don't want, and we actually do know how to go about getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fear of losing friends, losing family, losing a job, losing this, losing that, that attachment to not wanting to lose something keeps us from expressing and experiencing as that which we really are. And I know the listeners know exactly what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
because the beingness of us is really what we are missing. I mean, you can be, you know, flipping hamburgers at a hamburger joint, and if you are really being true to yourself, mm-hmm. and feeling that fulfillment within you, think of what the people who eat those hamburgers are eating when they are putting into their body something that a fulfilled person has actually touched. It is a wonderful way to bring a new perception to everything that we do,
mm-hmm.
from when we're sitting meditating to when we're scrubbing the floor. And that's really what the world is waiting to receive from us. You know, so many people ask, what is the world wanting from me? What's the world waiting to receive from me? This is what the world is waiting to receive from us. And it pleases the ego personality, too, because the ego personality wants to believe it's desired and needed and useful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way to know it, is in taking the attributes that are truly you and bringing them forward so that what you are really loving to be and do is what you are being and doing, and this brings you the abundance we were talking about, like the guy down the street that makes all the money.
Right.
This brings it to you because you're no longer believing in something that the world wants you to give it. You're giving it of yourself.
Right, right.
And that's basically the answer to everybody's question.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they want to know, you know, how can I do the work I was meant to do, the work I love to do, how can I do all of these things? I have a student that is just... he's just beyond. In fact, he created a class that's on my Heartstorm website called Breaking the Corporate Mindset.
Mm.
When he first started taking my metaphysics classes, he was working for a very large software company. And he'd been with the software company for a very long time, since it was like just starting. And he was miserable. And he took my metaphysics class and really learned how energy worked and how everything actually happens. And he quit. And he's got a family, and he had Benny's, and he had all the stuff going on, the benefits that you get with being with a company, a big company for a long time, and, you know, all of the goodies. And he quit. And he's now running and owning candy store franchises.
Oh,
and he is
nice.
Ecstatic. So he actually came here to Lopez Island last summer and created a workshop with us called Breaking the Corporate Mindset and how to live a spiritual life in the corporate world the way you want to live it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Bravo.
Yeah, Bravo is right. I mean, and I, you know, and he's got a family to raise and kids to raise and, you know, wife and everything, and he's the support person, and he went and he did it, and I thought, oh my gosh, Do we just bottle you and distill you and just pass you around?
Right.
Because
put you in the water of all the corporations.
Exactly. This is what joy is about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, doing what you really love to do.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, we're almost at the end of the hour, and so I thought maybe we could wrap it up and you could mention your websites again and tell people where they can find your book and everything.
Okay. The easiest way to find all of my websites is at youaresacred.com. And that has my Sacred Spaces, my Angelic Human, my Heartstorm, and my Divining Truth websites. When you go to youaresacred.com, if you click on Divining Truth, it will take you to the Divining Truth website, which is where you will find information about my book. You can buy the book there. You can also, there's a link there that will take you right into Kindle if you want to get it for Kindle, for your Kindle reader. And also it has several other pages that there's one called the Divining Truth Courses, and that is a link into the book tour that we're going to be doing in 2013, if anybody is interested in hosting us, if anybody's interested in attending. And you can also email me from any of those websites and let me know if there's anything I can do to give you more information about this. You can buy an autographed copy of the book from me. You can buy it unautographed from Amazon, from the publishers, and it's all there on the Divining Truth website. It will allow you to have all the information about the book. The introduction is there, and there's some excerpts from the book also that are on that website, so you can learn more about the website right there.
Great. Well, Tony, I love your book, and I wish you the best on that trip. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, it'd be wonderful. Thank you.
I am so happy I had you back on the show. I wish we'd done this earlier, but we didn't, so we're doing it tonight, and you're just so much fun to talk to, and I just love what you're doing, and it's just a pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Lance. It was my pleasure as well. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, we'll have to do it again.
Let's do it again soon. Okay, I'm
soon.
All for it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks again,
Tony. Thanks a lot,
Lance.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.